Sunday's BET Awards were a four-hour celebration of Black culture with a heavy emphasis on music. The night was packed with live performances from Latto and Jack Harlow, as well as surprise guests Mariah Carey and Brandy, and featured a lavish tribute to Lifetime Achievement Award winner Sean Diddy Combs. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are talking about the 2022 BET Awards on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today is writer Kiana Fitzgerald. Hey, Kiana.
Hey, Stephen.
It is such a pleasure to have you. So the BET Awards call themselves culture's biggest night. They are designed to showcase Black excellence with awards for music and movies and even sports. But Sunday night's telecast placed a heavy emphasis on music with performances from Lizzo, Chance the Rapper, Maverick City Music, Kirk Franklin, Ella May, and many more. The night's tribute to Sean Diddy Combs featured Jodeci, Mary J. Blige, Faith Evans, Lil' Kim, and Diddy himself, among others. Mariah Carey even turned up with a guest vocal in a performance by Best New Artist winner Latto. The awards themselves were secondary to the performances, to say the least. In fact, in a four-hour broadcast, they only gave out about half of the awards and didn't even bother to list the other winners on screen. But televised winners included Silk Sonic, Jasmine Sullivan, The Weeknd, Mary J. Blige, Tems, WizKid, and Kirk Franklin. The bigger news came in the run-up to Sunday night's awards, as Lil Nas X protested his exclusion from the nominations with a series of tweets challenging the BET Awards' commitment to queer artists. His absence didn't come up during the telecast, though. Jack Harlow, who performed a song with Lil Wayne and Brandy, did wear a Lil Nas X t-shirt on the red carpet. Kiana, give me your thoughts on the BET Awards.
Absolutely. I think it was a very long thing to sit through, and that's just because my attention isn't what it used to be when I was 15 years old when these awards first started, or around about that time. So it was eventful for sure. I always appreciate celebrating Black culture, and BET, you know, as Black entertainment television, has been around for decades and has been kind of the go-to place for Black culture. So I'm happy that they're still rocking, they're still doing their thing. You know, there's always room for improvement, but overall, I think it was mostly enjoyable. In the past, there have been moments where there have been award shows and I've been like, I got to watch that again. You know, I have to see this again. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit that this wasn't a year for that. and that's largely because it was so long. But, you know, I'm glad that they were able to gather, you know, with COVID and everything that's going on and all the other issues that are affecting the country. I am grateful that it was kind of like a night off, even though we were working.
Yeah, and it was a night off, but there was social commentary kind of laced throughout. The host was Taraji P. Henson, and she acknowledged the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade in her opening remarks.
It's about damn time we talk about the fact that guns have more rights than a woman. It's a sad day in America.
You had Janelle Monáe literally giving the finger to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. There were references to gun violence. There was some social commentary laced through, but it was, as you say, mostly a celebratory night. What did you think of Taraji P. Henson as those? This was her second year hosting these. She's not a comedian, so she's not necessarily going to do like a joke-filled monologue, but she brought a lot of energy, right?
Yeah, she did. I really, I love Taraji P. Henson. I have for a very long time. I think she did the best she could with what she had. Mm-hmm. There were definitely a couple of moments where things were going on with the teleprompter and she had to improvise. And, you know, I know that that's something that happens with live shows here and there, but I think she did a good job. I think it was just the writing, but it seemed like she had a heavy emphasis on like, well, ladies, what kind of man do y'all want? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that kind of thing, like talking about the kind of man she wants in her life. And there were other moments in the show where other women, like there was a woman from the show Sistas who made a Michael B. Jordan comment.
These are trying times and we have to lean on each other. I want to offer my personal shoulder to lean on to Michael B. Jordan. You are healing. We are all healing.
And it was like, it was funny, but it was also like,
but it was in the middle of something that was kind of earnest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like, is this feels misplaced. But overall, I think Taraji did a good job.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you mentioned kind of highlights and lowlights. Give me some of your highlights. What are the individual moments or performances that you would be most likely to want to rewatch out of that those 4 hours?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed Lotto's performance, especially when she brought out Mariah Carey, the Mariah Carey. I was not expecting that because Mariah does her own thing when she wants to do her own thing. And it was really beautiful to see her support a new artist, especially someone who's an MC. Mariah loves hip hop, you know, from, I think, Old Dirty Bastard's son was there performing as well.
Young Dirty Bastard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Young Dirty Bastard. You know, so it was really beautiful to see Mariah, you know, open her arms to Lotto and say, I'm going to be here to support you on one of the biggest nights of your early career.
Yeah, that was a genuine surprise.
Yes.
You know, that was not billed in advance. And when they said, like, all right, Mariah Carey, I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
It felt like she was on screen for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But those were impactful seconds.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah. And Lotto had a big night. She won Best New Artist as well. She and her absolutely gigantic earrings.
Yes.
Were scene stealers.
Yes. And it was really beautiful to see how proud she was of herself. You know, people kind of forget that BET does give a lot of new Black artists their first awards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for her to acknowledge that this was a big deal for her and to like shed tears on stage and saying she wasn't going to cry. Of course, everybody says that. But, you know, it was really lovely to just see someone be genuinely happy with an award from this institution, because with Black culture, just speaking from experience, it's easier to have a conversation with a larger, more diverse institution as an artist and like get that acknowledgement in that respect. But it's always about coming back home to where you started. And I think for a lot of artists, BET is their starting place.
Yeah. And one thing that I really enjoyed and appreciated about this telecast was how much coverage they gave to relatively new artists.
Yes.
There were a number of showcases involving new faces where I was like scribbling down in my notes, like, mm-hmm. listen to Jack Ross,
yeah.
J.A.C. Ross. They gave a lot of showcases to new artists in ways that I think really, and international artists in ways that I really appreciated.
Definitely. Yeah, that hasn't always been the case, especially internationally. Tim's won the International Artist Award. Mm-hmm. She's richly deserved. She's an excellent artist. She's done so much work on her own. And then she's kind of coming to the forefront in terms of the fresh faces. There was an artist named Gogo Moro,
yeah.
who performed, and then another artist named OG. And they,
oh, I liked OG a lot.
Yeah. She had such a unique voice. And mm-hmm. that's something that I'm very excited about that BET continues to do, is push new voices.
One of the performances that people were definitely talking about a lot on Twitter and that seemed like a big standout from the night was Jack Harlow, mm-hmm. whose presence at the BET Awards and whose nomination for a BET Award caused a few cocked eyebrows. He is a white rapper.
Yeah.
But his performance with Lil Wayne and Brandy, especially Brandy, had a lot of people talk.
Jack Harlow is... God bless him. You know, he's got a lot going on around him. You know, it's really interesting to see how the tides change once certain artists get certain positions. I appreciated that he, you know, wore the Lil Nas X shirt on the red carpet mm-hmm. to kind of represent for him. And I think Jack is really smart in that he knows how to gather the troops, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to like making sure that he's not just a lone white rapper on the stage. Mm-hmm. So having Lil Wayne come out, I think was, you know, monumental, because Wayne is so influential in terms of hip hop. And then also having Brandy come out was really powerful because...
Yeah, give us the backstory on that.
Yeah, so Jack Harlow was on a radio show and they were doing some kind of quiz section asking him, like, basically, do you know... like Ray J's sister or something to that effect. And he was like, I didn't know Ray J had a sister, not knowing that Brandy and Ray J are brother and sister. Uh-huh. So Brandy was like, oh, wow, he doesn't know who I am, kind of like laughing it off. And then she made a remix to his number one single, First Class. And everybody was like, oh, Brandy came back at him, you know, kind of situation.
Right.
And so for her to come out, I think a lot of people were surprised because they did think that there was tension there, mm-hmm. but clearly there's not. It was a fun, you know, I think he was the second performer. So it was a fun opening, you know, to the show to just kind of spread the peace and, you know, just like let people know like, hey, we're on good terms. This black excellence at its finest. Don't call me Brandy no more. Call me your highness. Built tougher than my brother Rage of Glasses. This passion. He woke up a beast. Now it's madness. Singer slash rapper. Rapper slash actress. I'm reaching for the crown. We might get a handful of thorns or maybe you just want to be.
Let's talk lowlights.
Okay.
Were there performances or moments that really didn't work for you?
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry, Givian.
Oh, buddy.
This is not your fault.
This is not his fault.
Yeah, you know, and I know that the Twitter streets are talking all the time about certain performers and their vocal abilities, and, you know, his have been called into question at times, but every award show has an issue. And it just happened that it was him, you know, it was very unfortunate, especially because it was toward the end of the show. I think he was the last performance officially.
So he basically kind of, in the opening moments of the songs, he kind of tugged at his in-ear monitors.
Yes.
And was really way, way, way off pitch. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I remember every time, all these days that feel like you. I break in a first. Do you ever think of me? Those moments can go viral, and they are very often the result of faulty in-ear monitors mm-hmm. in environments where you cannot sing on pitch without in-ear yeah. monitors, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he powered through. Mm-hmm. That's the really the important part here is he didn't stop and say, I can't do this or anything like that. The show must go on. So, you know, he finished his performance and he sounded rather good once he got into it. Every situation that arises like this, it just kind of tugs at my heart because for a lot of people, like especially the older audiences who are watching these award shows, they are not familiar with artists like Givian. So this was their introduction to him. Things happen, but I'm glad that he finished his performance strong.
What did you think about the Diddy tribute? There was a lengthy Lifetime Achievement Award presentation with this performance with a lot of people associated with Diddy. Mm-hmm. And then you had these very long speeches from Babyface, a masked Kanye West.
Yes.
And then Diddy himself, who spoke at some length. What did you think of that whole package?
I knew it was going to be a stuffed tribute. I'll say that. Because Diddy is Diddy. You know, he loves himself and he mm-hmm. loves the culture. So put those two things together and you have quite an extended experience. I liked most of the performances. You know, I love Jodeci, of course. Always. I grew up listening to their music. I feel like Lil' Kim might have missed her cue when she came out.
And it was a very brief.
Yeah, it was very brief.
Yeah.
You know, Mary J. Blige, of course, is Mary, and I will always have love for her and her thigh-high boots. And, Shine came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a governmental figure in Belize now. So to mm-hmm. see him come out and, you know, spit his verse for Diddy was very, very unexpected, but great. You know, Diddy is someone who has been a part of hip hop culture and Black culture by extension for so long that it only made sense that he was going to have a very elongated tribute. But yeah, there were some moments that I was like, okay, we can move on. You know, we don't have to, you know, sit here and listen to you, you know, rattle things off the top of your head, speaking mostly about Babyface and Ye, you know. But this is Diddy's time to get like a literal Lifetime Achievement Award, which is a huge deal. It could have been a little bit more succinct. Those were my feelings.
Yeah, when you put three very, very, very powerful men on a stage
yeah.
in succession and say, go as long as you want, that will happen.
I had this dream of us unifying, not just talk on this stage, but us. We know our community and our allies. If you're with us, don't be silent. Put some money in the game, put some fight in the game, because we at war, you feel me?
I did want to ask you a little bit about the influence of TikTok on this telecast.
Absolutely. So number one, Taraji came out to a song that has gone viral on TikTok called The King's Affirmation. It's by an artist named Eniko. And that just blew me away right off the top because a year ago, 2 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. You know, we're at a point where TikTok is dictating who's going to get signed, who's going to get on a Billboard chart. It's really taken over the music industry to an extent, especially when it comes to hip hop and R&B. And also Money Long, who has a very, very viral song called Hours and Hours. Mm-hmm. She had people singing with her. She was able to put the microphone out to the crowd and have them sing with her.
Yeah.
And I feel like as a new artist, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Especially someone who has been a songwriter for so long. And it really just speaks to the power of social media, particularly TikTok, and how people are ravenous for anything that they can relate to.
Storming for a couple hours. When we finish, take a shower. I could do this for hours. I could do this for hours, and I could do this.
So about Lil Nas X being excluded, award shows are going to nominate who they're going to nominate. Lil Nas X performed at the BET Awards last year, clearly has not necessarily been excluded by the BET Awards in the past, but of all the years to not nominate Lil Nas X, those omissions really felt glaring. How did you feel about kind of the representation of queerness on the night?
Yeah. So Lil Nas X, as we all know, is a very strong personality, you know, and he's going to say what he has to say and he's going to do what he wants to do. I don't know the ins and outs of his performance last year where he did kiss another man. And, you know, that was a huge topic of discussion on social media. But in my opinion, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, he's just showing a part of life. So for him to be excluded in the way that he has been, you know, like you said, it was a glaring omission. And it speaks volumes that they would not include him after the release of his album Montero, which I feel was very well done, especially for someone who is constructing their sound in real time and, you know, figuring out who they are as an artist. So I felt disappointed by that. And I feel like he has every right to express himself in the way that he needs to in terms of getting people to understand, like, this is not like an isolated situation. This is something that we've been going back and forth about different issues for however many years. They did have a ballroom segment and I appreciated that. You know, it was beautiful seeing Billy Porter come out and other people that we know from the queer community. And it's Pride Month, you know, so.
Right.
But it also kind of felt like BT saying like, hey, you know, we love queer people. We have them on our stage. Like, you know, just because we have an issue with this one artist doesn't mean that we have an issue with all people of this background. So it did kind of raise my ears a little bit, like, oh, okay, this is an interesting inclusion.
Yeah.
But I am glad that they did it.
Okay, last question. I mean, okay, if you had a drinking game involving words like culture and excellence, you were wasted by the end of this broadcast.
Yes.
If you had a drinking game where you took a sip every time a brand initiative was mentioned, every time they mentioned like Doritos is working to uplift the Black community through this initiative, Procter and Gamble, Target, Dove, Smirnoff, Amex, Walmart. First of all, for a 4-hour telecast, there were a lot of commercials.
Yes.
But there were also so many like integrated sponsorship messages. Did it feel like an infomercial to you sometimes?
Yeah, I actually wrote a note. Have there always been this many brands involved? Like, it felt like we got to pay the bills, so let's rack them up, you know? And it was just really overboard, in my opinion. But I understand, you know, I think as long as they're actually going to follow through with these initiatives, it's okay, but it was a lot, a lot, a lot.
I mean, at one point, they had this presentation sponsored by Walmart where they brought out a young business executive.
Crypto, right?
Like, they brought out like a crypto guy that was tied in to HBCUs. And at that point, like I actually took my slipper off in my hand to throw it at the TV, and I stopped myself.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of those moments where it was just kind of like, really? Are we really still doing this? Like, as I said, probably a means of just making sure that everything was paid for and people got the accommodations they needed for their performances, and people were able to get their shine as entrepreneurs and whatever way you want to frame it. But I think moving forward, they might want to reconsider how many they include, because I think back in the day, it was like sponsored by Coke and that was it. The whole show. It was just a whole show sponsored by one entity. So if we could go back to those days, I think we'd be better off.
All right. Well, we want to know what you think about this year's BET Awards. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Kiana Fitzgerald, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please sign up for our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. This episode was produced by Candace Lim and Mike Katzeff and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello, Come In provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all on Wednesday.